Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just getting us all here tonight, Lord. We thank you, Father, for just everything that you've given us. There's so much to thank you for. It's like, it's hard to even like start. Like, from top of our head to the bottom of our toes is enough to be thankful for. And then everything external, Father God, the shirts on our back. So, Lord, I thank you that just tonight is just centered all around you, Father God. Get me out of the way, Lord. Let your words just flow, Father God. Let whatever you have for somebody tonight, something life-changing, let something life-changing be said, because every time you speak, life's not even like changed when you speak. Life begins when you speak. He spoke the universe into existence. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. You guys already feeling it? Yeah. Amen. I don't even say favorite, because like nobody had like a favorite subject in school. Unless you're like really like into scholarship. But who liked language arts? I'll put it that way. Who liked language arts? I was a fan of language arts. Okay, now keep your hand up if like language arts was your favorite. I think, yeah, language arts was my favorite. Like for sure. Because I was like, that was like one of the things that came easiest to me was language arts. Because I don't know, like words are cool. They'll be like, hey y'all, so a submarine, the prefix sub means under and marine means aqua, so it's like underwater. And it's like, oh, that's really cool. Now I know why submarine's called submarine. And so I was studying, and like I found this cool website that translates the English Bible into the Greek. I know. Every time I get up here, I talk about the Greek, but it's cool. It's like where the roots came from. Amen. Like, you see the top of the tree, and the top of the tree is really cool, but the unsung hero is the roots. Amen? When did Joel learn how to play bass? What the crack? Was it like, I felt like it was last month where he's like, yeah, I taught myself how to play piano so I could worship. And all of a sudden he picks up a bass, it's like, cello. And so like the unsung hero is the roots of the tree. And so like when we can get to the roots of the Bible, we start to figure out like why stuff sounds the way it does. Because sometimes the Bible doesn't translate all that great into English. It kind of like throws us off guard. Where it's like from faith to faith, it's like, you want me to go from faith to faith? I was already at faith. Now I got to go to faith. How do I do that? And so I looked that up, and the Greek word for faith is patho. It's a fun word to say. And it actually has a double meaning. It's to be persuaded or to persuade someone. And then after that, it means to believe. So it's both noun and verb. Like, you ever heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words? This word is an action, and the action is a word. So it's to be persuaded, and faith in God means be persuaded in God. I was talking to somebody recently, and he was like, yeah, like I'm on the road a lot, and I'm gonna get back to my wife and stuff like that. We're actually getting married soon, so it's his fiance. I'm getting back to my fiance. We're gonna get married, and we're gonna find like a good Bible believing church. But it's just kind of hard because I have some past hurts. And he's like, yo, but like I totally believe Jesus is Lord. Like, I just need to get back into the swing of things. And I could tell his heart was in the right place, and I could tell he was dealing with like the process of pain. So like, no judgment on him, but like, if anybody leaves a church because of people, then they had their faith in people and not God. That means that their faith, they were persuaded by someone to start coming to church, and they stayed there. I mean, we should go out and invite people and kind of persuade them to come. Hey, bro, I got Smash Brothers in my church. I'll bomb on you with my Ike. But like, we shouldn't let them stay here. We should persuade them to come to church, and then pray that God persuades them to come into the family of God. Amen? So faith means to be persuaded, and then to believe in what persuaded you. Which brings me to the title of the sermon, Faithful Footsteps. Kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Took me like a week to come up with that. I know, it seems simple. So with like faith being like talking about like persuading and stuff like that, and talking about how God persuades you, I've almost been like upset with people. Like I see like a lack of faith in them, and like, that was totally wrong of me to do. Just be a flat out, I was wrong to be upset with somebody where I saw a lack of faith. I have no idea what they're going through. I have no idea what their life was like before they started coming to church. And then I saw this, and I was like, man, like, I am never gonna judge somebody for not having this enormous amount of faith ever again. I saw, you cannot choose faith more so than you could choose to love somebody. if I brought a stranger into this room, and I was like, okay, now fall in love with that person, and then whenever you're, when however old you need to be to marry him, then marry them. That's weird, because you don't know them. So is it maybe because the church isn't getting to know God enough is not why we're being persuaded by him enough? Amen? So get to know God and get and let his love persuade you. I'm going to take you guys through three stories on people who were persuaded by God. They had faith. Faith so great, even Jesus said that great, that's some great faith. I told my wife tonight, my goal is to say faith at least 40 times. I think I'm like halfway there by now. 5 minutes, yeah. I'm already halfway there. Awesome. So if I can get the Luke 18 up there. So what happened with this story is that this guy, his name is Jairus. One of the kids was like, I was like, true or false, Jairus came to Jesus. And like one of the kids in the other class was like, false, his name was Jairo. And I was like, no, it was Jairus. He was like so confident that his name was Jairo, though, he would like hit me with a false. Like he wound up the F, false. And I was like, okay, I'll give it to you. Jairo. So this guy's name is Jairus, and he comes up to Jesus, and he's like, Jesus, my daughter is so sick, she needs to be healed. And I think he's really high ranking. He's actually the leader of a synagogue, which is like a church back then. And so, like, for a leader to come to Jesus is really amazing, because, like, there's been a lot of bad things said about Jesus at this point. So to see, like, Jairus as a leader humble himself and come to Jesus in his time of need is just epically speaking to his faith. Instant, off the bat. His first impression is just faith. This Jairus guy is faith. Heard something really cool the other day on YouTube. That water, Jesus calls himself the living water. When you pour water into a cup, it rushes into the bottom. The lowest of the low. Amen? Those who are empty, those who realize that they have nothing aside from Jesus, Jesus is going to reach them first. Amen? And that's not to say Jesus is not going to reach everyone. Jesus is going to reach whoever wants to be reached. Amen? You have not, because you ask not, right? So, on the way to heal Jairus' daughter, Jesus is encountered, like the crowd is now gathered around Jesus because everyone's heard that, like, what Jesus is about to do. Like, they see Jairus, they're like, hey, like what's going on? And I'm sure somebody was like, hey, Jairus' daughter was sick, and he went to Jesus, and now, like, let's go watch, and, like, everyone runs. I imagine, like the second, like, the fight breaks out at high school, and then just, boof, a whole crowd comes. Oh, I couldn't stand that. Oh, you guys realize what you're doing, right? You're feeding into this, like, you're creating a culture of just violence. And a really funny story. One time I was walking with my food, and usually I'd ask for 2 chocolate milks, no juice, because the juice is, I didn't like the juice. And I forgot to do that day. And so I'm walking to my friends, and this fight breaks out to my left, and, like, I got mad. I was already kind of mad. Like, I was way more mad than I should have been. I was like, I forgot to get my chocolate milk. Gosh. And this fight breaks out. I was like, man, these people are so dumb. And, like, I don't know what happened. Like, I zoned out for a second. I grabbed the juice. I didn't open it. And I huck it into the crowd. Just woof. And I was like, I was like, what just happened? And my friends are looking at me. I'm like, And, like, they start laughing. I was like, I don't know why I just did that. Like, I thought they were dumb for wanting to watch a fight. And, like, sure enough, these girls come up to say hi to my friend Sergio. And they're like, oh my gosh, Sergio, did you see the fight? Oh my gosh. Dude, I got hit by a juice. And I was like, whoa, that's what you get. That's what I said in my head. That's what you get. So this crowd has formed around Jesus like some high school fight. It's that hype. It's like that intensity. And Jesus is walking through the crowd, but there's this girl who's been sick for 12 years. And she's kind of like, barges into the scene of, like, Jesus is on his way to heal somebody, but, like, she interrupts him. We're going to talk about another story where this connection is just being made in my head now where Jesus is interrupted. Like, and it's weird to say interrupted, but, like, he puts his attention to them. Like, when was the last time our faith was so powerful it got heaven's attention? Amen? When was the last time we fought hard enough, we prayed hard enough, we worshiped hard enough to get heaven's attention? That's something that we choose to do, amen? Amen. So this girl, she's been sick for 12 years. She's spent all of her money. She's gone to, like, at least a dozen different doctors. And then she hears about this Jesus guy. This Jesus guy is her only hope at this point. And she's like, you know what? I'm so done with this. If I can get to this Jesus guy, I've heard the stories and I believe in them. And I believe in them so much, I don't even need for him to stop. And then part the crowd and like, look at me and like be like, you are healed. I don't need that. This is how epic her faith is. She's like, all I got to do is touch the hem of his garment. And you know where your shirt is like stitched? That's the hem. So like just the edge of his clothes. She's like, I realize, this is good, guys. You're going to want to write this down. I realize that just a little bit of Jesus is enough. The smallest amount that Jesus can give me is enough. If you guys caught just that sentence from tonight, your life would be changed. Your life would literally change because you would realize, I don't need a $20,000 car. I can get like some beater just to get around and like be thankful for it. I can just realize that like the hem of his garment, the least of the amount of Jesus is enough for my entire life. The least that Jesus has for me is where my breakthrough is. And then whatever else Jesus gives me is just cherry on top of the ice cream. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And so like on average, women are just smaller than men, correct? Yeah. So there's men and why did I get such a big amen? It's just like a biological fact. And so there's obviously men and women in this crowd, but like I imagine this woman who's been sick for 12 years, she's obviously not like super like physically fit. She's been sick for 12 years. 12 years, dude, that's a lot. Like my temperature goes up to like 99, and I'm like, oh, Miranda, wife, this could be it. The light, it's coming. Tell Kindred I love her. Kindred's the dog. And so like 12 years, she's like, she's probably, I can imagine her being like kind of frail almost. So to see this giant crowd would be intimidating to say the least. What today in your life, church, what today in your life, Sozo, is intimidating you? What today looks bigger than you? What today is bigger than you? You feel frail. You feel beat up. You feel like you've been sick for so long, you don't know when it's going to end. She sees this crowd. Sure enough, starts moving her way through. Imagine it takes like some low blows, like just punching the back of some guy's knee. I need to get to Jesus. And like the faith that she's already, like, I can imagine her getting more and more excited. There's been times in my life where like, I don't know, like I'm playing water polo and like we're driving to the school and I'm getting more and more nervous because like I feel like I didn't practice good that week. I ate like too many donuts after practice. But then there's been like other times where like we're in the school bus and we're driving to the game and like I'm getting amped. Like I ate good this week. I only drank one soda a day. I'm feeling good. I feel like I'll take somebody on. Give me your biggest guy, I'll take him out. But like I can imagine her getting more and more excited as she's getting closer and closer to Jesus. And as she gets there, she reaches out. And it says she touches the hem of her garment, and immediately, she's healed. Oh, I skipped a story. She's immediately healed. She's immediately healed. And he turns around, and he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. And so, she's healed the second she touches the hem of his garment. Media, if I can get that scripture up. It's the other one, the one that's not that one. Touches the hem of her garment, touches the hem of his garment, and she's immediately healed. He turns around and he says, daughter, I love her faith. She says, I don't need the skies to part and the light to be on me and all the crowds to look at me for me to get my healing. I just need a little bit of Jesus. I just need the hem of his garment. He turns around and he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. If you guys remember, we were talking about Jairus, and he came up to Jesus, and he's like, hey, my daughter's healed. I mean, my daughter's sick. We need to go heal her. And so Jesus looks at him. He's like, yeah, let's go heal your girl. So he says like, daughter twice in this story, but again, in the Greek, it's a little different. When he talks, I'll say it like this. In Spanish, like, you hear, the moms on site talk about, like, all the kids, oh, mija, mijo, even though, like, they're not theirs. Because it's just like, oh, a little boy, little girl. Let's just say it like this. Like Jesus, earlier in the story, he's like, Jairus, let's go heal your mija. Let's go heal mija. Let's go. Let's go heal your girl. But when he turns around, so mija is like the abbreviation of mi hija, which is my girl, my daughter. when she touches the hem of his garment, he turns around, he says, my daughter. He says, mi hija. Where it's not mija anymore about anybody's kid. It's mi hija. It's my daughter. People in the crowd have been like, wait, what? Jesus doesn't have a kid, does he? Is that Jesus' daughter? She's really old. And so she turns around, he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. I believe the point of this story is to show us that when she touched the hem of his garment, when she got a little bit of Jesus, she was healed. And the wording's different too. Healed. Turns around, he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. I think she was healed when she touched the hem of his garment, but it wasn't until she was made well is until she was called a daughter. It wasn't until she was adopted into the family of God. Amen? You come to church and you can receive healing. You receive a good word for the week. And you've been persuaded by man to come to church. But it's not until you are persuaded by divine God. Are you persuaded into his family? And then you are healed. Then you're whole and then you're well. You guys want to know? Let me get that scripture back up. The end of the story. My daughter, you're made well. You guys want to know the Greek word that is used for well right there? I'll give you one guess. Somebody guess it. Somebody shout out, what do you think it means? It means sozo. He turns around. He says, daughter, you're now in my family. When you touched my garment, you were made, what, you were healed. But now that you're my daughter, now that you have been persuaded by me, now that your faith is in me, Jesus Christ, you're whole. You are in my family. You are sozo. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, your past is now covered. Your present is now like encouraged, and your future is now divine. Amen? It's when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's when you come into God's family are you made whole. Let's talk about the story I skipped at the beginning. This guy, he's been blind, I think, his entire life. And he's on the side of a road, and he hears a commotion. It's like, psh, psh, oh, my goodness. Psh, whoa, oh, my God, it's him. I knew. Oh, he's taller than I thought. And he's blind. He's like, hey, what's going on? Who's there? And they're like, Jesus. He's like, what? Jesus, the Nazareth, the Nazarene? That Jesus? They're like, yes. He's like, are you sure it's not Jesus? It could be Jesus. There's a lot of Spanish in today's sermon. I don't even speak Spanish. And they're like, yeah, it's Jesus. He's like, wait, I heard about this guy. I obviously couldn't see this guy, but I heard about him. And when I heard about him, I heard some really good things. I've been blind my entire life. You know what? This is worth a shot. Let me see if I can get this guy's attention. Jesus! And they're like, whoa, dude. He doesn't want to talk to you. You're blind. You you're a beggar. You're on the side of the road. You're dirt. You're nothing. So he has all these people telling him to be quiet. And so he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Cool story about this verse is like, there's a song that's been written like totally based off of this verse. Son of David, have mercy on me. The blind will not gain their sight simply by opening their eyes. Just because somebody knows they have an issue doesn't fix it. If somebody's like, oh, I'm colorblind, that doesn't mean you can instantly see colors because you recognize the issue. Son of David, have mercy on me. The blind will not gain their sight simply by opening their eyes. They need somebody else to open their eyes. Amen? Now, who's the man for the job? It says, son of David, have mercy on me. And those around him were like, Jesus does not want to talk to you. A beggar at this time, ooh, it was bad. It was terrible to be a beggar. You were seen as like, so like there's like, I don't know, if you made like a hierarchy, there's like the emperors, the knights, the nobles, and then like, the pottery and the jewelers and the people who make jewelry. There's jewelries guys and merchants and stuff like that. And then under that, there was like farmers and like shepherds and stuff like that. And like under them were the servants and like the slaves. And under the slaves, like we'll talk about the lowest of the low. Like you get to the bottom of the pyramid, you dig a hole and then you throw him in there. Lowest of the low was beggars. And so like Jesus, the Messiah, does not want to talk to a beggar. What is wrong with you? You know his response is? Oh, you're right. I'm just going to be quiet now. No. He sees that as like his opportunity to be like, Jesus! The Bible says he cries out all the more. When was the last time we fought something? When was the last time something came into our ear, tried to silence us, tried to say, Jesus doesn't want to do that? And then we cried out all the more. There's been athletes in the past that, like, when they get upset, they play worse. And then there's been athletes that, like, you watch on TV, dude, they get upset. Kobe would get upset if you got Kobe mad, he would break your ankles, he'd find your mom and then break her ankles and, like, find your three kids and then ball them up and then dunk on your six-year-old. Like, Jesus would go after it. Kobe would ball up your entire lineage if you got him upset. So next time something comes against you in your fight to get to Jesus, the next time something challenges your faith, cry all the more. Cry out all the more. Be like, you know what? You know what? I don't care. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to cry out all the more. Oh, man. You're never going to get those grades that you strive to get. And, like, you tell people, oh, I don't care about that class. Because that makes you look like you're not trying. And if you're not trying, then it gives you an excuse to not have a good grade. But maybe the truth is that you are trying to get a good grade. You're really struggling. Come to pray. Come to Jesus and bring it to him. Brings me to my first point, cry out. So we're talking about faith tonight. And then I want to give some practicalities and three ways you can strengthen your faith. Faith is a muscle, amen? Amen. Remember earlier I said it was both a noun and a verb? So let's back it up. Let's not only preach with our lips. Let's preach with our life. So one step to having some faith is just crying out. And crying out can look like a lot of things. It can look like prayer. Jesus, I need some help in math class, dude. I feel like my teacher's not helping me out. I go to tutoring, and then I still don't get it. And then I come home and ask my parents, and they graduate, and they haven't done geometry in God knows how long. I feel like I'm alone here. And then it sounds so weird. But, like, just pray about math. Pray about history. Pray about language arts. Pray about whatever you want. There's nothing too small for Jesus to handle. I had this dog that would, like, it's a weird story. I think I've told this story. But I had this dog who would get excited, and then he'd roll on his back so you could pet his belly. But then he would pee. So I did not like inviting people to my house. Like, I'd be like, hey, like, you want to come over and have some pizza? And then I'd throw my dog outside. Oh, you have a dog? He's really cute. Don't say hi. Do not. You're going to ruin the pizza. And so, like, one day I invited my friend. He's really gracious, Angel Perez. And he's like, oh, Peter. And, like, pets his belly, gets pee on his hand. He's like, oh, no. He just washes his hands. And I'm, like, freaking out. I'm like, oh, this is disgusting. And he's like, oh, no, it's fine. Look, wash my hands. Fine. I was like, man, you're so gracious. He's like, have you tried praying for your dog? And I was like, what? You think God cares about my dog's bladder? And he's like, dude. He comes at me with scripture. He's like, dude, God cares about every hair on your head. And, like, I have to make it too, like, witty and punny. I was like, wait, if he cares about every hair on my head, then he cares about every hair on that dog's head because I care about that dog. And he's like, yeah, I guess. I don't know. Just pray for the dog. So I was like, you know what? Little dog, if you right now in the name of Jesus, like, just help me out. I don't even remember, like, what I prayed exactly. I think I just remember, like, I said, accept puppy Christ, like, whatever that is. Like, just, God, just help me with this dog. And, like, within 2 weeks, he stopped. It blew my mind. I was like, what? And, like, this is such a small, like, little, it seems like such a small testimony, but, like, I bring it up at least, like, once every 6 months because it's such a cool story. And so, like, if God will help me with my dog's weird bladder, how much more will he help you with your parents fighting at home? How much more will he care about you? The Bible says he feeds the birds in the air. How much more does he care about you? He wants to help you. He wants to tell somebody right now that, like, Jesus is saying to somebody right now, I know your home situation isn't great. I know, and I feel for you. I the Bible says he weeps with those who mourn. So if you're beat up and you're sad about it, Jesus knows and Jesus cares. He's with you. But he says, know that that's your earthly home and that's your earthly family. But you got a family that's in the heavens. He tells the disciples, hey, I'm leaving. I'm going to heaven. And the disciples are like, oh, please don't go. He's like, no, I got to go because I'm going to go make you guys a bunch of mansions. So I know right now your home life doesn't feel great. It doesn't even like, I have like a 10. It's like a 3. I know it feels like that. But just know that there's a home for you in heaven that's 1,000 out of 10. There's a home in heaven that has just been made for you. And like I said before, the cross is not just a way to get into heaven, but it's a key to open heaven and get some heaven into you here on earth. Amen? When everything is going on around you feels like hell, know that there's some heaven inside of you. Know that there's some heaven inside of you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in each and every one of you. We just got to tap into it. Amen? Somebody say, cry out. Awesome. And so when we talked about that girl with the issue of blood, how she reached out to Jesus and she got her healing. Leads me to my second point, which is reach out. So cry out is like praying and stuff like that. And then reaching out. Reaching out is kind of like a little different thing. Because I feel like reaching out is almost like it's way more verb than crying out. Crying out, I can do standing still. Law. Reaching out, I got to move. Somebody say move. There's somebody in here that has felt stagnant. You feel like whatever issue you're dealing with, you feel like whatever circumstance, you feel like I got to deal with high school for how long? I know it seems like a long time, but just reach out and just move, and you'll feel like you move out of your circumstance, even though your circumstances, you're still in it. It's because you moved your emotions out of your circumstance. You moved your thought process out of your circumstance. You no longer let your circumstances control you, but you deem your circumstances. And then watch your circumstances change. Amen? Because now your heart's looking for the next thing. Now you're ready to work. Now you're ready to move. And like you're like, hey, Mr. Guy. You're talking about moving, but like, I don't know how to move. How do you move in like the spiritual realm? It's kind of easy. Josh, are you ready? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, he knows what I'm talking about. I think to reach out sometimes, we just got to praise. We just got to praise when everything around us is telling us, no, keep it on. We just got to praise when everything around us. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, hallelujah. Somebody today reach out. Somebody today reach out and stand up. Ha, ha, hallelujah. Ha, ha, hallelujah. Ha. Louder. Ha. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. And it's yeah. Ha, ha, hallelujah. Oh. Ha, hallelujah. Ha, 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 ha, hallelujah. That's how you reach out. It was that easy. That was like what? 40 seconds even? Again. One more thought. I like that. That was what, 40 seconds? You feel the atmosphere in the room change? Yo, you do that at home and see what happens in the spiritual realm. It's that easy. Come find me. I'll text you the link to that song. You just have it on repeat for an hour. You feel, oh my goodness. You will feel different. That's some reaching out right there, guys. And it's not hard. You guys just saw it. Oh my goodness, that was easy. Amen? We've made the gospel into some complicated, complex solution. That like, oh, I need to study. I need to go to Bible college for 6 years, and then I'll be there. No! Jesus didn't die so you can go to Bible college and then experience heaven. Jesus died so you can experience heaven whenever you try. Amen? Oh my goodness. Ha, ha, hallelujah. You cannot sing that song without smiling. I dare you. Amen? Awesome. Let's go to the third point. Humble out. Somebody say, humble out. I'm so glad that song is like no longer popular, the sit down, be humble. I don't know, it just kind of bugged me. But reach out, be humble. Cry out, reach out, humble out. Point number three. We got one more story, guys. And so Jesus has like, he's been really popular for a while. He just wants some alone time. So he finds his house, goes inside, and I imagine him eating for some reason. The Bible doesn't specifically say he's eating, but like the verbiage and like the analogy that he uses makes me think he's eating. And so he's eating, and then all of a sudden, Matthew 15:22. A Gentile woman who lived in the area just burst into the room. Just boom, kicks in the door. I can imagine doors not being very hard to kick in back then. But she kicks in the door, poof, and she rushes in. And the Bible describes her as a Gentile Syrian woman. Back then, nobody obviously agrees with this anymore, but women back then were seen as less than men. And to be a Gentile means you didn't believe in God. So there's the Gentiles and then there was the Israels. So if you weren't in Israel, that means you kind of like weren't part of Jesus' crew. Jesus loved everybody, but like label-wise, you weren't part of Jesus' crew. So she's a woman, so she's less. She's a Gentile, so now she's less. And now she's Syrian. Oh man, you throw Syrian on top of those, you got like the wombo combo. Like, who was like, when I say like WWE, like rivalries, who do you think about? John Cena and who? Randy Orton, RKO out of nowhere. John Cena, Randy Orton. I think of like the Macho Man, Savage, and the Hulk Hogan. Oh man, those guys hated each other on camera. I don't know, maybe they had real life beef. Kind of seemed like it. But like that is like Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Randy Savage, rivalry. Woman, Gentile, Syrians and Israelites especially, oh man, they had like decades of strife. And so she burst in, Syrian Gentile woman. And I think Jesus sees this and he sees an opportunity. We'll get into it right now. But like, he's like, hey, this girl got some courage. This girl got some audacity. First impressions, it's like, whoa, why are you going to interrupt Jesus' dinner like that? Because she got something to do. She comes in the room, and she says, my daughter is possessed, and it torments her severely. I mean, I don't have a daughter, but like, if something was wrong with my dog, I would burst into a vet's house real quick and be like, hey, my dog is throwing up. Please help her. And so like, how much more is this woman passionate about her daughter? She burst in. She comes to his feet. She comes over to his feet, and she's like, I don't want to misquote it. Yeah, she comes in and says, my daughter is severely possessed. And then 23, but Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. This is so out of character for Jesus. There's only a couple times where I can remember Jesus being somewhat out of character, we say. But how many know he didn't do anything without the Father? So it looks weird right now, but I'll explain why I feel like this happens. I mean, I wasn't there. I'm not Jesus. I'm not God. I'm not the Holy Spirit. So I cannot say for sure why it happened, but I can tell you what I felt like the Spirit has dropped in my heart. Bursting says, not a word. Jesus, you just hit this lady with the cold shoulder? Man, the spirit, the pain of being ignored. Who's been ignored before? I mean, like, gosh, that's even worse than getting told no. The pain of being ignored is way worse than the pain of being rejected, because at least when you've been rejected, you have an answer. Hey, you want to go hang out? Oh, no, dude, I'm busy. My dog keeps peeing on everybody I bring over, so I got to clean the house. And it's like, oh, my bad. Like, hey, you want to pray for your dog? Don't talk about it. And like, and so that's okay. So that's okay. So I got told no. I got a reason. Fine. I want to hang out with them, but cool. Hey, dude, you want to go hang out? Like, I got an extra movie ticket.
He left you on red.
Red alert. Dude, being left on red is like the worst thing nowadays. Like, people start like Twitter drama because they were left on red. I've seen it. Back in my day, it was MySpace drama. Oh, my goodness. You leave somebody on red and like MySpace just blows up. You guys are no longer friends. You're no longer in their top 10 or whatever. All the songs that you guys liked are no longer in your little playlist. Dude, MySpace was so much better than Facebook. I'm just realizing that. But no, he ignores her. So like, where is compassionate Jesus? She comes to him, a Syrian Gentile woman. And so like, you would think like, man, like this woman is the lowest of low, and she's now come to Jesus with her heart open, her arms wide open, tears in her eyes. Jesus, heal my daughter. She's demon possessed. It hurts her severely. Feel like if she doesn't get any help, I don't know what's going to happen. She's probably going to die if she doesn't get help soon. Jesus, what are you going to do? Boom. Cold shoulder, nothing. This is so out of character for Jesus. This story has boggled my mind in like the 5 years that I was a Christian. And it wasn't until I sat down and I just stared at the word. I stared at these three verses, the three last verses we'll get to in a minute. And I stared, and then finally Jesus dropped something in my heart. I was supposed to teach this to a 6 to 12-year-old. This is a crazy story to try to teach to a 6 to 12-year-old. I was like, man, how is this going to happen? I got to tell a 6-year-old that Jesus ignored somebody. But like, the story is so cool. It ends so great. I even read a documentary. And you could tell this guy had like 8 years of Bible college. He's probably like spoken at like 1,000 people events and conferences. You can just tell by the way he was wording it. And he's like, well, Jesus in this scripture, he calls her up. Like, okay, so next verse. We'll get into it. I promise it's fun. And he says, he answers her, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of house of Israel. See, even right here, he points it out. He's like, she's a Gentile. I'm an Israel. I got to feed Israel's first. And so, next verse. Then she came to him and worshipped him, Lord, help me. Next one. But he answered to this, this is twice now. First he ignores her, then he says no, and then he gives her, and then he hits her with this. It is not good to take children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Whoa. So now I got to teach a 6 to 12-year-old that Jesus ignored somebody, told them no, and then called them a dog. Goodness. Hopefully she doesn't pee on somebody that comes over. But her reaction, oh my goodness. Part of being a Christian, guys, you're going to find out real quick, if you haven't been a Christian for very long, you're going to find out real quick, part of being a Christian is letting strife slide off the back of your, like water off a duck's back. Letting hurt go. That's hard, dude. There's a process to pain, man. You get hurt, and it takes a second to come back from that. She's got ignored, then told no, and then insinuated that she was a dog. This is where the commentary comes in. This guy's writing this long out thesis. He's like, the Greek word he used for her was pet dog. So it's obviously she was in the house. So she's gonna eventually be in the house, and it's just after the children she gets her food. It's like, what? That did not resonate with my spirit whatsoever. How many know that 2 seconds of Jesus? 2 seconds of like a God revelation is way more powerful than 2 years of college. Amen? Amen? I didn't even go to college. I don't know where that came from. I'm just excited. And so I don't really think that she's getting called a dog here. I think it's definitely insinuated, but I think Jesus, he saw something when she came in the room. We'll get into it. The next verse. And she says, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat crumbs which fall from their master's table. Go back. So she says, even little crumbs, even little things. Somebody tell me what little thing happened earlier. Definitely, it was a woman. She touched what? The hem of his garment, just a little bit. She's like, yeah, Jesus. Man, I would have been so offended right now if I was this girl. I'd be like, yo, Jesus gave me the cold shoulder and then told me no, and then he called me a dog. Man, I'm out of here. And now what happens to my demon-possessed daughter? So she was fighting, guys. She fought labels. Every label that has ever been put on her, ever, told her not to be in that room. Every action, every thought, every outside word that has ever been like spoken to her has told her not to be in that room. Sometimes life, sometimes all of life, sometimes every part of life is going to tell you not to come to church, is going to tell you not to read your Bible. Sometimes, guys, sometimes, you are going to feel ignored by even heaven itself. Jesus ignores this woman. There's going to be don't raise your hand, but who's felt like God didn't even notice them? I've felt like that. I think we all have. Sometimes you feel ignored even by God. God, where are you in this situation? I've been in this situation like the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. My daughter's demon possessed and Jesus is down the street. Why isn't my daughter fine? Sometimes you feel even ignored by Jesus. But it's in that moment. It's in that moment. Somebody write this down. When you're at your breaking point is when you're about to get your breakthrough. Amen? Amen. When you're at the gym and you're on your last rep and you feel like you can't go anymore, but then you knock out one more rep, that's when your muscles get stronger. Whatever sport you're playing, like say you're swimming and you're going and you feel like your muscles are about to give out, but you got one more lap and you knock out that lap, that's when you got faster. When you feel like everything is against you, when you feel like everything is trying to break you, that's when God's about to give you breakthrough. Amen? Amen. Somebody tell your neighbor, hashtag not a hydro flask. Yes, Will, PlayStation. You weren't even on PlayStation, Will. Never mind, camp. When you're about to be broken is when you are about to be your strongest. Your hardest testimony, guys, is your best testimony. Amen? Just because it didn't look like the best testimony of your life in the moment, and then God brings you out of the moment, and you get to turn around and be like, dude, God, you're so good. You guys are in a season. You guys are young enough to know. You guys are young enough to know like some hard thing. You guys are old enough to know something hard. So everyone's been through something, right? Everyone's been through something that they're not going through now. Yeah? So why is the situation that we feel like we're in now any different than the situation that we were in? We were in something, God brought us out of it, and now we've ended up back into a different something, but just because this something is bigger than that something, we think this something is never going to be done. David fought, give me the order. Bear, lion, bear? Bear, lion? Tigers, lions, bears, oh my? Damn, bear, lion? David fought bear, lion, then Goliath. If he flipped that order, I don't think he would have beaten Goliath because his faith was not built up. There's some building of faith going on right now in your lives, guys. We see it in this woman. Okay, so I'll get to this point. So he calls her a dog, and I don't even think he's calling her a dog. It's definitely insinuated. Somebody insinuate it like it's like, oh, it's assumed kind of like thing. Because what happens at the end of the story, next verse. And then Jesus answered, he said to her, oh woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed that very moment, hour, immediately. Amen. So Jesus goes, I don't know if you guys can do this, but can you get like that verse and then the two before on the screen at the same time? I don't know. But so he goes from telling her, I got to feed my children first. It's not good to feed the dogs. And then he feeds her. What happened? You ask my wife, I was just staring at this verse, at these three verses, and I was like, man, won't feed her, got to feed the children. She says, yeah, even the little crumbs. And then boom, she gets fed. What happened? What happened in those three verses? What changed? And he says, I got to feed my children first. And then the gears start turning. I imagine it's stuck with like a rock or something. And then like the Holy Spirit just jump started the gears in my head. Jesus, drop this, dude. This is so good. This story will never be the same now, guys. He drops it. And I feel like what happened, he says, gotta feed my children first, not the dogs, and then she gets fed. And he says, oh, daughter, your faith is so great. Now you get what you want. So how did she go from not being a child to faith to getting fed? Jesus says, I gotta feed my children first. And then her faith is so great. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, he turns around and calls her daughter. I believe, guys, that her faith made her a child of God in that moment. Because no one else would have that kind of faith unless they were a child of God, amen? She comes in the room and Jesus sees this. And I think this is why Jesus acts the way he does in this story. Because she bursts into the room. Poof, and I think right there, I think it was that moment she bursts into the room. Jesus sees something in her. He's like, what? This Syrian Gentile woman just bursts into the room and then calls out to me? I see some major faith in this girl. And then he ignores her. Because I think what's going on here is God wants to make a really, really cool story that on the outside kind of looks weird, but when you get to the core of it, when you get to its nucleus, it's a good story. She bursts in the room. Everything's told her not to be there. So God sees something in her. Jesus sees something in her that he can use to blow the disciples' minds. So at some point, the disciples were like, Jesus, send her away so she does not bother us. She wasn't there for the disciples, you dingus. She was there for Jesus. So there's some boldness in her. I think Jesus uses this moment to blow the disciples' mind, to blow my mind. Whose mind's blown right now? My. Thank you, Georgie. He sees some boldness in her. When we bring some boldness to Jesus, he's going to use it. Amen? Amen. Somebody is feeling emboldened right now. And I want to speak to that. I want to speak to whoever's feeling emboldened by this woman's story. Because her boldness and her faith got her adopted into God's family. And then she gets fed. Even though Jesus said, I got to feed the children of Israel first. She became a child of God and then got fed because of her faith. Somebody say faith. She humbled out. She humbled out. Every label that was put on her, I don't care. I'm a woman. You're not even supposed to be in the same room as Jesus. I don't care. Somebody get this. Somebody understand this. And everything that has told you not to be near Jesus, your friends, your parents, your circumstances, who you used to be, use that. Jesus used this woman who should not have been used. Jesus uses this woman who should not have even been in the Bible to teach me about faith. Oh, God is good. Amen. Someone's feeling emboldened right now by this woman's story. And hold on to it. Because just like this woman had to go through, just like the blind beggar had to go through, just like the woman with the issue of blood had to fight, you guys are going to have to fight for your faith. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen? You guys are gonna experience something right now. You guys are experiencing something right now. Somebody say, right now. We won't do an altar call. You guys can just stand up. Make your altar where you stand. Stand up right now if you feel emboldened by these three stories. If you feel like these three stories have built your faith, go ahead and stand up right now. This sermon wasn't me. This was just the Bible. I'm just telling you what I got out of reading the Bible. This is basically someone reading their Bible and then someone telling a bunch of other someones what they read that day. Go home and read your Bibles. Go home and pray. Go home and throw on some worship. Go home, cry out, reach out, and humble out. You guys are feeling some boldness right now. You guys are feeling some courage right now that you haven't felt in a really long time. Don't let it go. Because after you leave here, there's going to be a lot of things telling you not to. There's going to be people telling you to shut up. Jesus doesn't have time for that. There's going to be even moments in your life where you feel like Jesus is ignoring you. There's going to be times in your life where there are entire crowds in front of you. But all these people got to Jesus because of their faith. Somebody say faith. Somebody say faith. The entire message of tonight was faith. But I think Jesus wants to tell somebody right now, don't let it go. School's just starting up. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming against you guys. And life isn't easy. I think we all know that by now. But with God, we can have peace that surpasses the difficulty. Amen? So everyone just... Put your hands on the neighbor. Try to keep it same gender, more or less. So I'm going to close out in prayer, guys, and then we're dismissed. But just remember that you have people here that love you. You have some people here that are not going to call you a dog. You have some people here that are going to speak life into you. If you guys feel like your faith is ever being crumbled, reach out to a leader. That's what we're here for. You're not bothering us. Somebody right now is telling themselves, I don't reach out. I don't text Shayla. I don't text Joel because I don't want to bother them. That's not bothering Shayla or Joel. That's not bothering me. That's what we're here for. That's our due diligence. That's our job. That's our reasonable duty as leaders. So, dear Heavenly Father, I pray over Sozo Youth right now. I pray over everybody in this room, Father God. I pray for anybody who's listening to this online, Father, that you just give them faith. You give them faith that gets through crowds. You give them faith that breaks down doors. You give them faith that breaks off of labels. You give them a faith that surpasses all understanding. You give them a real, genuine faith that does not let go. Jesus wants to encounter you guys. Open up your hearts and just let him in a practical way. Like I said, go home, read your Bibles. I'll text you where to find these stories and you can read them for yourselves and you can get even better revelation than I had. Read your Bibles, pray, just listen to some worship. It's that easy, and then it's not that easy because sometimes you're really, 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 really not going to want to. But it's in those moments that Jesus is going to build you up. So go home and let Jesus strengthen your faith. Somebody say faith. Somebody say, Jesus, I just want you more. I want you more than I want to listen to sad songs when I'm sad. I want you more than I want to numb myself. Fill me with your love and your faith. In Jesus' name, amen.